Two people, one table, two chairs. One sits watching his host make coffee at a bench. A kettle boils, and the host chats away while rinsing out the cafetiere.
"That's when I discovered the great Sudoku, Con," the host said. "There are people whose whole industry would collapse if it were known."
Robert, sitting at the table, said nothing.
"You've played a Sudoku before, a grid of 9 squares by 9. You have to fit the numbers 1 to 9 in the squares, avoiding repetition of the same numbers. People do a different Sudoku every day."
"They do them every day.
They can buy whole books of them. Dozens of grids with different starting numbers. Put all these different grids together. When solved, how many grids do you think there are? 1 million? Tens of millions?
No.
How many different Sudokus are there? 4. There are just 4. But people don't notice, because the starting point of the grid is different each time. A different selection of numbers, a different number of starting numbers, and then every so often they just turn the grid round 90 degrees and start all over again. But because the people don't pay enough attention to the final completed grid, they don't realise that they've been playing the same game every day for years. The public don't know it. And even if someone twigs, they won't let it be known. You follow me?
Robert nodded and waited. Peter joined him with the coffee and cups.
"So, who are you?" Robert asked Peter.
Peter didn't reply. Just continued pouring the coffee. 2 cups, neat, white, contained, like the rest of the laboratory.
"Who are you?" Robert repeated.
"I'm Peter," his host said, the pouring complete.
"I know your name, but I'm the inventor of the electronic sausage. I'm the inventor of the electronic sausage."
"The electronic sausage?"
"Yes."
"Never heard of it."
His host seemed disappointed. "It's a sausage, an electronic sausage, that lives on your desktop for whenever you need it."
"Need it?"
"Yes."
"Does it do anything?"
"No."
"So what's it for?"
"Nothing."
"It does nothing,
and does it very well."
"Milk?" Robert nodded, and with a studied precision, Peter poured the milk, stirred the mixture, and pushed the coffee across the table. Robert didn't take the cup, primarily because of the straitjacket.
"Who are you, Peter? And why am I here?"
"To help me," said Peter. "I need someone to help me with my research, an assistant, if you will. I'm not a scientist."
"Oh, no, but you are uniquely qualified. Uniquely. No one else will do, you know."
Peter undid the straps on the straitjacket.
"What is your research?" "Oh, I'm unlocking the doors of data copying. I'm making improvements to our kind. I'm going to make mankind into something fantastic. I'm going, with your help, to make myself into a fully fledged troll."
"Troll? You want to be a troll?"
"I am a troll. I am, really, deep down. Ever since I was a teenager, ever since I got to know them, ever since I started to draw the dots and see how our world really works. It all started when I posted a great discovery on the internet. And they came for me. They wanted me to keep quiet. I didn't want to. But they offered me a chance to change, so I kept my mouth shut about what I'd discovered."
"About the Sudoku?"
"Of course, about the Sudoku. Have you no idea how important that discovery is?"
"Please tell me, Peter, what do you want with me?"
"Trolls are now so rare.
They've either died out or gone into hiding. Those that aren't dead are too clever. They're too tainted by man and won't let me near them. So we need to use people they've touched.
You're the last link, the last touch of a troll. You're also unique. You're a human touched by troll kind, just like me. I've been touched by them too. I am no longer quite human. I can't change myself like them, but maybe I can replicate myself like them. I can codify myself, my person, and peel those layers off like an onion and feed them to a new generation of troll. I need never die. I need never disappear into the melting pot of data and culture. I will be immortal."
"So what do you need me for?" Robert nearly screamed.
"Well, I don't know if it works yet. I wouldn't want to kill myself trying to live forever. I'd never live it down, so I thought I'd try it out on you. You'll be the first fully developed human-troll hybrid. Aren't you lucky?
Robert considered screaming, but instead drank his coffee. Robert considered thinking about orange penguins, but this wasn't the time. Instead, he said, Can you be sure you aren't already a troll, Peter?
Yes.
How? I've met trolls who are seriously confused, who've been around people so long they don't know what they are anymore. Can you be sure that isn't you?
No.
Besides, we're all trolls a little, aren't we? We pass on our genes and even our memes to the world around us, pass on our memories as words, as bits of information. Do you really want to continue the same, unchanged forever?
Yes, of course I do, but it wouldn't really be you.
It would be a copy of you. The real you would be dead because the copy would be unable to change. It would be fixed. It would be as real a version of you as a statue.
And what's the alternative? Die. It's better that I try. You see here, inside this jar, this is mine. This is my child. A child of troll and I. When I was 16, 17, I found a troll and I carried it away and I made this with it. It can copy anything, everything. It is the future, but without me, without a completion of my work, I can't carry on. I won't be able to teach my child how to live.
Robert picked up the jar. It was empty.
There's nothing in there. Yes, there is,
screamed Peter.
There's no child in here. Yes, there is. It's just very small.
Do you even work here? Robert asked. Do you work here, or are you another patient?
I can be both. Yelled Peter. I won't go out there. Not again. Not for her.
Her?
The girl. The baby. I'm not going out to them. I've too much work.
You do have a child. A real child.
Yes. Somewhere. They'll wait. I need to make a real child first.
I think you need to stop this, Peter.
You don't believe me, do you? Don't believe I've done something with my life. I have. I have made life. I made it. I've had a child. Both born of my genes and my memes. What have you? What have you achieved? You have nothing. You're a writer, yes, Robert? You write little stories and stuff, and deep down you hope that some of them will survive you. That part of you, your memes, will survive. But what hope, really? All your education and work and time spent alone in a room, and even a half-educated fool can and has done more to change the world than you simply by enacting a quickie knee-trembler against a wall. An inconsidered act of mindless selfishness has greater worth and impact than all of your scribblings put together. A child from a random fuck will have a greater impact on the world than you or your imagined friends ever will.
But you're forgetting something fundamental, Peter.
What?
That child doesn't exist. You don't exist. Because I created you in this story. And it is true. Any child may live longer than my writing. But you never know. I live in hope. Better than your definition of a rutting despair.
Well, if I don't exist, what happens to the drug I've put in the coffee?
And Peter the Git downed his mug.